Appreciate it. Okay, I think we passed out. I'm sorry, though. If you have not left for discipleship, you may leave for discipleship. How many of you men are trying to grow your beard out for old-fashioned day? Some of you have been trying for 3 weeks, and you've got something not good going on, okay? You got, like, some hair. You got bald spots there. Well, we don't prefer the word bald. We prefer the word shaven, but you have spots on your face and so forth. So looking forward to old-fashioned day. How many of you ladies aren't shaving for old-fashioned day? Okay, thanks for that. All right, we're in the book of Proverbs, and tonight we're going to deviate from our regular subjects just for a minute. Of course, we've mentioned that the book of Proverbs is about wisdom, and it's the primary principal thing. There's the key verse right there you can look at. Wisdom is very practical, and wisdom gives principles for every area of life. I think in our track we say that the Bible we say relevant Bible preaching. Now, that's kind of a word that's kind of a hot topic, because your more liberal-type churches will use the word relevant. When they say relevant, what they mean is they try to change the Bible to fit culture. When we say relevant, what it really means is that the Bible speaks to every area of life which we face. Okay, it does. It applies. It's not just some book of children's stories. It's not some book of just this, that, or the other. It talks about the things we face on a daily basis. And so that's what we want to, that's why we're in the book of Proverbs. It talks about our spiritual life. It talks about how you can have a better relationship with God and that from that aspect. It talks about practical life, things we face in everyday living. We've been talking about finances over the last few weeks. Your career, your job. It talks a lot about character, diligence, prudence, laziness, and things of that nature. Talks a lot about morality. Anybody that is leaning towards or would be flirting with something that could lead to an adulterous relationship, you ought to read Proverbs chapter 7. It'll scare you, and it should, because it's not a good thing. But it talks about those things of life, and it also talks about relationships of life, friendships, dealing with total strangers, dealing with children, and marriage. The principles in Proverbs, they either talk directly about a subject, it'll mention it specifically and give you a principle. Sometimes it speaks indirectly. In other words, it's a principle which, if applied in your life, will help you in different areas. By the way, the whole Bible is good for your whole life, okay? Say, well, I need to get in the Bible and learn principles about you know, marriage and family and all that. And you should. And we're going to talk about that tonight. But if you come and grow as a Christian and get all the things of the Bible, it'll help you in every area of your life also. Okay, it transfers over. So the Bible helps you to become better at everything everything that you are involved in your life. And yes, it includes marriage. Now, Couples Retreat is coming up, and over the last couple years, right before Couples Retreat, I'll usually talk a little bit about marriage, and it's just a reminder for us, number one, and number two, also, just Couples Retreat is a good thing, and I hope that if you're married, and I know some of you can't because of work or whatever, but I would do everything I could to go if I were you, okay, and bring your spouse with you. That's the whole point. But you want to get away together, and it's good for you. And so I would encourage you. But it's funny how in our life things will come up and we'll study to learn. You know, maybe there's a certain area of work or a certain thing that you're trying to learn or a certain skill set, and you'll get on the internet or you'll get books and you'll study and learn about it so you'll become more proficient at it. But yet in the most important areas of life, it seems like we don't do that. You know? And that's sad. We need to learn to be better in every area of our life, particularly the most important areas. And so with that as a little bit of a foundation, I want to give you tonight, and we'll finish all 10, Proverbs top 10 principles for marriage. Okay, let me just give you some, and we'll go through these. Number one, marriage is and always should be and should always be a good thing. Okay, marriage should be a good thing. Proverbs 18:22. Whoso findeth a wife, findeth a what? Good thing. You're saying, I'm starting to struggle. I don't think the Bible's true. No, it's true. Okay? Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. Proverbs 19:14, houses and riches are the inheritance of fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord. Perspective is everything. Perspective is how we look at things. If we have a negative look at a negative view of something, we're probably going to only see the negative. If we have a positive view, we probably are going to key in a little more on the positive. By the way, here's a news flash. None of us are perfect. Okay? Now, some of us are more perfect than others, all right? No. None of us are perfect. Therefore, all of us have weaknesses. And if all we do is focus on a person's weaknesses, we miss their strengths. See, what we want is the strengths without the weaknesses. That's not fair. Okay? In my marriage, and my wife would say the same thing about me. Okay? We both have strengths and weaknesses. I can't think of any weaknesses my wife has right now. I think she's listening. Okay. Is she in the nursery? She is. I'll just tell you the truth. Just kidding. Okay? You know what? My wife, believe it or not, has weaknesses. Discernment is one. That's why she married me, right? But my wife has a million more strengths. So, if I get frustrated and focus on those weaknesses, I miss the strengths. And by the way, I want her to cut me some slack in my weaknesses, right? If I had any, but I want her to cut me some slack. So it's a matter of perspective. Marriage is a good thing. And we listen to all the other things. We've all heard the jokes about marriages. I've used them before. By the way, when I do, I'm joking. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Don't go home thinking, man, I'm not trying to scare you, Eric, okay? It's just, you know, the jokes. You know, you heard about the man who he didn't realize what real happiness was until he got married. But by then, it was way too late, okay? This one, I got to tell you this one. John told me this one. Joke of the day, John. This husband and wife go into a bank, and while they're there, the bank gets robbed. So after the guy robs the bank, he puts all the people that were there against the wall, and he walks up to the first guy and says, he has him against the wall. He goes, did you see anything? And the guy goes, well, yeah, I did. He goes, bam, shoots him, kills him right there. Goes the next person, says, did you see anything? He goes, well, yeah, I did. Wow, bang, shoots him. He goes to this man. He goes, did you see anything? He goes, nope, I didn't see a thing, but my wife saw everything. Okay, moving on. Fact of the matter is, though, marriage is a good thing. Marriage should be one of the biggest blessings in your life. Okay? It should be. It shouldn't be looked down upon. By the way, quit, you know, I understand the princess and the prince, they saw each other, you know, they fought through whatever it was, and they got to get married, and they lived happily ever after. And they probably did, but there was some bumps on the road. So quit looking for perfection. It's not there. But you know what? Marriage ought to be a good thing. The problem is how we look at it. Go through the progression of how you got together. You know, you one day were whatever you do, you're living your life, and wham, you saw her or him. And it's like, wow, okay. And then through a course of whatever, you got to meet them. Maybe you did a little homework on each other. Then you start the courtship process or the dating process, and you get to see each other, and you have things in common, and you enjoy being with each other, and there's something there. And then maybe the relationship takes a little bit deeper. You know, maybe it's a whole boyfriend and girlfriend thing, or it's like, this is the one I'm dating. This is it, you know, and you're dating. It gets a little deeper, and then you get to the point where you just want to be with them all the time. You're in love. By the way, don't fall in love. The word fall means, you know, to trip, to hurt oneself, all right? You're not hurting yourself when you get in love. You're deciding to love. But so, you know, now it's like you're in love and you want this. And so you get engaged. And you can't wait till that wedding day. You want to see each other every day. You want to be with each other all the time. Then you get married. And you go on the honeymoon. And all is well. And you come home and you're basking in the glow of the honeymoon, and we're going to build a family and we're going to build a life together. And then what happens is life starts coming on. Job, bills, children. Maybe a little bit of pressure, a little bit of thing comes. And what happens is, if we're not careful, that relationship we started starts to take some hits. You know why? Because we're not investing in it the way we used to. We're letting something slip into that marriage and drive a wedge. So, by the way, sometimes it's not bad things. It's good things, things that you have to do. But you let that start to get on your marriage. Listen, it's a good thing. Keep it that way. Understand that it's a blessing from God. Marriage is a blessing. Now, number two, a married home should be a peaceful place. Now, I'm going to have to define peace for you, because I don't think it's quiet. If it is, our house is never peaceful. Proverbs 15:17. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. Better to be a vegetarian. By the way, let me say this. How come vegetarians look so unhealthy? Meat is good. Thought I'd just throw that in. Amen. All right. Unless it comes from McDonald's, then it's not meat. But it's better to have not as much than it is to have more, but all that, there's no peace, there's no love. Look at Proverbs 17:1. Better is a dry morsel and quietness therewith than a house full of sacrifices with strife. Fact of the matter is, your home should be a good place to be. Your home ought to be a place where you want to be. Okay? There ought to be some peace there. Now, let me define peace. Peace doesn't mean you walk in and it's quiet. You know, we have our children, and then we have the married ones and the grandchildren, and there's always people at our house all the time. So it's not always quiet. But you don't have to have quiet to have peace. It ought to just be something where you come home and family. It's just, it's some place you want to be. The quiet in the context here is being compared to strife, fighting, you know, all of that nonsense and all that drama that goes on. What sets the main tone in the home? The marriage relationship. That sets it. Okay? If there is a bunch of drama in the marriage, there's going to be a lack of peace in the home. And let me say this, it does not have to be that way. It doesn't. If you have two people that love each other and they love the Lord, they can make that a peaceful place. Amen. You can grow into that relationship. Don't settle for second best. It's how we see it. Well, let me say this, you ought to have a little bit of stability in the home. Stability brings peace. What I mean by that is have a schedule. Now, and maybe this is just me, it's not who I am when it comes to that type of thing. It doesn't have to be necessarily a, you know, rigid, like, you know, 801 this, 802 that, 803 that. I'm talking about your life is so routine and you're doing the same things that there's a good schedule there naturally. Okay. By the way, first thing in your schedule is you come to church on a regular basis and those type of things. And you're home with the family and these dots. You may not do anything, but there just needs to be some type of order in the home and there needs to be peace. Many years ago, we were doing a big push on the family when we were at the old building on Pacific. And Pastor was going to do this big series on the family. It was part of our fall program. So he wanted a special track to pass out to the area. And I did the tracks that time. So on the front of the track, I put a picture of an atom bomb going off, and I just put the little picture. The comment was, what comes to your mind when you think of marriage and family? Because that's what most people think of. You know, that's just, well, you know, no, it doesn't have to be that way. You ought to strive to make your home a place of peace, where your children want to be, where your husband and wife want to be home. Constant drama in the home because of the marriage is not God's design. Okay, and so let's work on that. A married home, make your home a peaceful place. Number three, Before I say this, don't, ladies, don't get mad at me. The guys get point four. Are you with me? Okay, so I thought I'd throw you first because I know you're the better Christians, and you'll take it a lot better, and then we'll jump on the guy's case in a minute. Are you with me? All right. A wife, and by the way, I'm sure we have none in our church that are like this, but it's biblical principle. A wife with a contentious spirit drives a husband away. A wife with a contentious spirit drives a husband away. Now there's several verses in here that God brings. You say, well, that wasn't God. Solomon wrote that. He knew about that because he had 700 of them. I'm sure he had several that were just rejects that he wanted to take back and get a refund. Okay. Proverbs 21:9. It is better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman in a white house. Okay. The picture is he's hiding up on the roof even though they have this huge house. Okay. No personal testimonies here, guys. Or else you deserve to be on the roof. Proverbs 21:19. It is better to dwell in the wilderness. By the way, when you hear the word wilderness in the Bible, it's not talking about the beautiful green trees everywhere. It's the desert, all right? It's better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman. I think I'll go camping without tent and water to Death Valley. Proverbs 25:24. It is better, same thing, to dwell in the corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman in a white house. I guess God wanted to make sure we got that one. He mentioned it twice. Here we go. A continual dropping. In a very rainy day, and a contentious woman are alike. You know the drips, when rain, drip, 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 drip? Yeah. Well, Jerry, you want to tell us about it? I think that you're the one that's nonstop, all right? Sorry. Whosoever hideth her, hideth the wind. I don't think you can do that. And the ointment of his right hand, which beweigheth itself. Okay? Let me say this. And again, men, we're going to get on you in a minute. Most of the time speaking, the spirit of the home is determined by the woman, the wife, the lady. All right? What is he saying here? It's not good. Look what he's saying. Look at the lady he's talking about. This is a lady women want to fight from. Brawler? What do you think of when you think of a brawler? Bring it on. Let's go. Drop the gloves. Let's do it. Okay? How easy, ladies, is it for you to get in a fight with him? I mean, are you looking for one all the time? By the way, when your husband comes home, if he comes home from somewhere and you've been home for a while, give him a few minutes before you jump on him, all right? Give him 5 minutes. Everything okay? Here, sit down. Now you can jump on him, all right? Just give him a few minutes. But a lady, there's ladies, they just like to fight. What is contentious? Argumentative, an attitude that just is like, if I say the wrong word, it's coming. Angry, out of control. And then continual dropping. You know what that is? Nagging. Constantly saying the same thing over and over and over. I'm going to help you, ladies. Here's how men work, and I've said this before. We don't like to be told what to do, especially 100 times. All right? If I feel like doing something, now I have boys for this, so I don't feel like this ever. But if I feel like taking the trash out, and I'm like, that trash needs to be taken out. My wife says, hey, take the trash out. It's like, I want the trash to stay right where it is. I'm a rebellious husband. She knows. Just say, hey, Steve, whatever you do, do not take that trash out. I want you to leave that trash right there. It's like, no, you ain't telling me what to do. I'm taking it out right now. Whatever you do, don't buy me a dress. You're going to get one right now. Okay? And it's wrong. I know it's wrong. Okay? But pray for us. That's who we are. But nagging. Okay, and by the way, husbands, we'll get on you in a minute. Maybe your wife shouldn't have to nag on you for the same thing over and over and over. Okay, don't even give her a reason to nag at you. I couldn't wait to the next point, guys. I had to get you now. Look at the reaction. Okay, let me just tell you, there's two things that are going to happen when you're in beast mode. You know, when you're in nagging and fighting mode. Here's you chase a guy away. I'm telling you, that's how we are. I'm letting you in. I'm giving you the secrets tonight. First of all, the corner of the housetop. You know what that means? He's there, but he's at home, but he's retreating. Okay? Sometimes it's like, we just don't drama. We rather just, now we have to step up, I get it and all that, but it's like, he's just, you know, I ain't say anything. I'm just, he's there, but he's not there. He's retreated. Then, you know what the wilderness is? That's not the home. He's out of there. He takes a long way home from work. He finds other things to do. So listen, don't, now, Now, guys, let me say this. If your wife's having a bad day, don't say, didn't you listen last night? You're nagging. Give them some slack. Sometimes they're having a bad day. By the way, you have a bad day too. Okay, you come home, it's like, what is that doing there? What's going, and your wife's like, hey, how was work today? Well, it's horrible. Well, she knew. So cut some slack. But ladies, please, you set the spirit in the home. I'm telling you, if you would just get this, you could have everything you ever wanted. We like peace, and we like things to go well. We don't like drama. Some people thrive on drama. Guys, we don't want it. You want something, he comes home, hey, sweetheart, how you doing? Give him a nice hug. Maybe give him a little kiss. Say, guess what? Dinner's ready. Whoa. Hey, listen, are you doing anything? Your hair looks thicker. You have a good day. What, can I do that? You know what? Listen, he's pulling the credit card out. It's like, I know we're not supposed to spend on credit, but go get whatever you want. We like that. Okay, so help us out. But nagging doesn't work. Don't chase him off. Say, well, my husband never goes to the wilderness. I know, but he's living in the invisible rooftop. You know, how come my husband's always in his room? You know, I drive through our neighborhood. Now, I've never done this, and I wouldn't. But I drive through our neighborhood, and guys have, man caves. Now, most of them can't afford a house that has enough rooms for a man cave. So guess what their man cave is? Their garage. You go down the street, I see it all the time. There's a television in there, and there's a guy hanging in there. I'm wondering why. Okay? Now, maybe sometimes they just like a place to go with their buddies, but I wonder if it's like, this is my corner of the housetop. This is where I'm hiding, okay? Leave the dog in the house. Let her yell at the dog. So watch your, try to set a spirit. The best thing you can do, lady, is set the spirit in the house. Now, I say, well, I had a bad day. Okay, we all have bad days. Now, here we go. Fellas, this is for you. Number four, a man's anger causes his wife to react. You weren't going to get out of this so easy. As coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. Oh, I thought we were talking about the ladies being contentious. No. Anger. Proverbs 11:28. He that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind, and the fool shall be servant to the wise of heart. You say, well, wait a minute, you're contradictory. No, these are general principles. For the most part, in a good relationship, the lady will set the spirit in the house. But sometimes, gentlemen, she can't because your anger is so out of control, there's nothing she can do. If when you come home, everybody, as soon as you walk in the door, if everybody stops and stares at you to find out how you're going to react today, that's a sign there's something wrong with you. Your wife ought to want you to come home. Your children ought to be glad you come home. But if they're waiting for you to come home, like, what kind of mood is dad in? If they have to talk to you in such a way, they're afraid if they say one word, you're going to blow up. There's something wrong there. Maybe, just maybe, your wife is contentious. And just maybe, your wife does like to brawl because you've taught her how to do that with your constant anger. Anger is not good. Look what the Bible says about anger. Look, Proverbs 22:24. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. God says, don't stay away from angry people. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, something happened. I had a buddy that you could not make him mad. Guy, his name was Ray Dowd. We hung out when I was in high school. He was just one of these really laid-back guys. Any guy never got mad. So one time, he barely talked. One time, remember I mentioned we had a moped last week in the financial. He had a moped too. So we're at my buddy's house, And we hit his moped around the back of the garage. And he came in, and he had just got it. Like, man, I hate to tell you this, Ray, someone came here and stole your moped. And he just kind of like, did you know Ray? And he just kind of smiled. He goes, and then he turned and put his fist to the wall. Boom! Like, whoa, Ray never gets mad. He got mad. Okay? Now, that was a, but all of us get mad every now and then. I'm talking about if you lose it at every little, small, little thing, you've got issues and you're ruining your marriage. Maybe that's why your wife is reacting. Takes two. Number five. A man is to find satisfaction in his relationship with his wife. Look what Proverbs says. Now, I understand this is a, we didn't put all the verses in there, so stay calm. You know, I understand this is talking about also guarding against immorality and so forth. I get that, but I think it goes deeper. Proverbs 5, verse 15, 18, drink waters of thine own cistern and running waters out of thine own well. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad and rivers of water in the streets. Let them be only thine and not strangers with thee. Let thy fountains be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. I like the way it said the wife of thy youth, because obviously he's talking to somebody that's been buried for a little bit. Okay? Your satisfaction in life, and now other than the Lord, don't nitpick with me. Ought to come from your wife. You ought to be satisfied with your wife. You ought not to be looking around somewhere else. Solomon is giving advice about being faithful to your wife. By the way, that's something he really didn't heed himself. Maybe he learned from bad experience. But be satisfied. All true. That's true in all areas of life, to be satisfied with what God's given you and quit looking out in other options. But if we're not working on our marriage, if we're not working and making it what it ought to be, we start looking outside for things. By the way, I have friends. I can't think of any right now, but I have friends. I don't hang around with my friends. I mean, I do sometimes, but it's usually in group settings or whatever. You know, when I have free time, I'm with my family. And I like being with my wife most of the time. Okay? I like being with my wife. I'm glad that we've been married for really long time, okay, 30 years. 30 years. Man, we got married when we were in grade school, okay, 30 years. We got married young, 30 years. You say, oh, do you guys feel like honeymooners? I'll be honest with you, no. We're not honeymooners. There's a lot going on. But I'm just as glad. The fact of the matter is, I'm happier than I was. So you guys ever had issues? Yes, everybody does. You ever been irritated with each other? Oh, yeah, yeah. But she's great, okay? And so, but that takes effort. That doesn't happen on accident, and you got to work at it. Be satisfied. If not, you start looking for other options. Let me say this. You go get some other option, it's going to be the same thing as what you got. Because the problem's not the option, the problem is you. If you don't work on that marriage, you don't work on that relationship, you're going to get someone, and by the way, you'll be attracted to someone just like the person you got, and give it a couple years, you're going to have the same problems. The problem is discontentment. We talk about discontentment with money and say, if you're not content with where God has you right now, you'll never be content, even if you had more. Same is true in marriage. You wouldn't be content if you had somebody else. It's a relationship. Enjoy being together. When you first got married, you were excited. By the way, you know second marriages have a horrible rate of divorce. Once you let the car, once you go to the next one, you're not set. You just keep going and going. It's just junk. It changes because we quit working on it. We don't go out together. You ought to have date night. I'm telling you, you ought to have it every single week. You need to go out with your spouse every single week. Okay, that you need that. Now, when you were dating, oh, I wanted to be with them all the time. You get married, all of a sudden, I joke around. You know, you ever drive and you see some couple making out in the car next to them? How many of you ever seen that? It's like you got a red light and they're just going to town, you know. And I always joke to my wife and say, man, a good dose of marriage would stop that in a heartbeat. Okay? Now, that's a joke. That's usually what happens because we quit working on our marriage. Go out. You couldn't wait to go out when you first started seeing each other. Now you're married, you don't want to go out? You need to find reasons to be together. That's why I encourage you, and if all possible, you need to go to couples retreat. Oh, we don't need that. You need it. Okay? You need it. If you don't need it, then you do need it, and you don't realize you need it. Okay? Find ways to get along together. Now, I know guys like, oh, you know, I'm not going to go shopping. I'll go shopping with my wife. Now, I will confess that it does have a tendency to irritate me to no end. Okay? And I know all the routine. You know, hey, let's go to Costco. I'll go to Costco. Why? Because they have some seriously good samples. Okay? Are you with me? It's like, you go do whatever it is you're doing. It's like, I didn't even realize I needed a Hot Pocket, but there, I need one. Okay? And the little whatever it is, and I'll eat it all. But you know, you go, and I know, it's like, you know, I only need three things. I'm like, right, let me get a cart. Oh, just one more thing. Oh, just one more thing. Oh, just one more thing. I'll get another cart. Okay, I know how it works. I don't go to Costco. Well, actually, I go to Costco because I like the samples, and I like their hot dogs. Okay, those things are really good. And they even throw in a drink. That's a really good deal. You can't pass that up. That's stewardship. But I like the whole thing. But, you know, I like being with her. It's an opportunity just to go and spend a little bit of time with her. Okay? And by the way, that's not sissy. That's called being married. You quit doing nice things for her. What, you don't know how to open the door yourself? Okay? You know, and I... By the way, say, I saw you, Brother Myers, and your wife was getting in your car with you, and you didn't open the door for her. Okay? Let me explain what happened. My key... I have to explain myself. My key... is dead. It wouldn't open, and there's no key on her side. I have to rip it apart to open my car door. I was going to get a new key. It was like $300. I said, no, I'll pull the little key out and do it myself. So I can't unlock her door. So I have to unlock my door, and then by the time I unlock her door, she already gets in. So, but I do help. I open the door for her to get out. She never does because we're driving when I do. But just keep working. Your satisfaction's in your marriage. Number six, and I got to hurry. A lady is to find satisfaction in building up her marriage and home. Proverbs 14:1, every wise woman buildeth her house, but a foolish woman plucketh it down with her hands. Ouch. Okay, this is, again, none of you in here. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Ladies, if our satisfaction is to remain in you, you know, Pastor, you say it all the time, we have the hunter mentality. Before we were married, we're looking for one, and we got her. It's like, all right, she's in the bag. We bagged the deer, you know. Here we go. We're done. Let's move on to the next project. Okay? That's not what we're supposed to do. But, ladies, you're not also, your marriage and your home, that's supposed to be important. That's supposed to be your satisfaction. Now, I understand in the place where we live, some of you have to work and work outside of the home, and I understand that, but be very careful. That's not where you find your satisfaction. I find my satisfaction in my boss at work, and what I get in my job and this and that. No, that's your job, and by the way, be a good employee, the whole nine yards. I get it, but when yet your satisfaction ought to be in your marriage and in your home, okay? Some ladies don't even want to be at their house. By the way, it used to be only the men in our society were deadbeat bums. They would up and leave the wife and the children and go do their own thing, okay, which is horrible. A guy like that ought to be beat with a stick. Two sticks. Now, you know what's sad? Now that happens on a regular basis with women. I mean, mom doesn't care. They'll up and just, I'm leaving. I want to do my own thing. You keep the kids. Okay, that's a sad deal. What happened to, look, no, but no man or woman, oh, you're male chauvinist. You think men are better than women. No, we all have roles. God created us who we are. Let's be happy with who we are, but let's fulfill our role. Okay? You mean my role is those snotty little kids? No, come on. Yes, they're a blessing. They're not snotty little kids. They're a blessing from God. And so see that. Don't look for something somewhere else. And know the priority. You know, your children aren't the priority. Your husband is. Okay? Children are underneath the husband. By the way, if your husband's the right priority and that's right, that's the best thing you'll do for those children. Those children want the parents to have a good relationship. Number seven. The key to a great marriage is found in the desire of the couple to be wise. Through desire is an house builded, and by understanding it established. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Okay? Where do we get the principles by which we're going to build our house? If it doesn't come from Scripture, it's usually flawed. See, we listen too much to the people on the radio, to the people on the television, and we listen too much to people that don't know God, the person at work. Who are you getting your advice from? Wisdom only comes from God. And God can help you through any things. By the way, if all that stuff, the radio, the Dr. Phil's and all the nonsense, as popular as they are, if that's so good, how come marriage is getting worse and worse in our society? How come the divorce level is going up and the amount of time couples stay married is lowering? Could it be their philosophies are flawed? Let's stick with what God says. Number 8, find joy in avoiding disagreements. Find joy in avoiding. You ever meet someone and you're pretty sure they like to cause strife? How many of you ever know someone like that? Man, they're just really good. They'll find that one little thing that'll just push your button and get after you, and they like to do it. They almost find joy. We can't do that in relationships. We shouldn't do it at all. Look at Proverbs 17:14. The beginning of strife is as one letteth out water. Therefore, leave off contention before it be meddled with. Once you open it up, that water's coming out. You ain't stopping it. Proverbs 17:19, he loveth transgression, wrong, that loveth strife. And he that exalteth his gate seeketh destruction. Proverbs 26:20, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. Man, I heard a million sermons on that. When I was in Bible college, where no wood is, the fire goeth out. We need the wood of God's word. We need the wood of that. That's great, but that's not what it's talking about. Okay, what's it talking about? Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. Like you need wood for a fire? If you have someone that's keeping their mouth shut, is not yapping, you're not going to have any problems. So have delight in avoiding disagreements. We can say things, but once we say them, we have no control over what the damage or the trouble it could cause. In 2012, there was a wildfire that started in the town of Elbert, Colorado. And they had to evacuate the people that lived in the town. They were afraid the fire was going to overtake it. They had over 100 firefighters on there, and the firefighters were actually able to save the town and finally get the fire under control. The man who found it was a guy named Alex Alvarette. He was the one that discovered the fire and alerted the fire department, and he actually was a volunteer fireman himself. Believe he helped in the fire. After they got the fire control, several months later, they did some investigating, and he actually came to the point where he confessed that he started the fire. He decided, he went out in the brush, he got a thing, and a lighter, and he started it. He goes, I just wanted to see how this would go. Now, he didn't plan on the damage it would cause or getting out of control, but he was just messing around. That's how it is with strife. You can say something and you're just saying it, but you don't know what kind of damage or strife that's going to cause. How many of you, raise your hand. I would raise mine though. In your marriage, you've ever said something and it's like the wrong thing? How many know what I'm talking about? It's like, as soon as you say it too, it's like, that was not the best thing. That was probably like throwing gasoline on a fire. We all do that. Now let's make sure we make sure we do that as little as possible. Let's not delight in causing strife. Our joy ought to be in not causing strife. Number 9, do what you can to restrain your words. And this kind of goes along with it. He that hath knowledge spareth his words, but a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. You know what he's saying? Be calculated in what you say. The hard part is when you're just in the habit of just throwing words out there and getting emotional, you start saying things that you probably shouldn't say. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. The more you're talking and you're talking through your emotions, the more opportunity you're going to have to say something that's not right. And let me say this when you're having a disagreement, okay? What's a disagreement? It's a Christian fight. Let's just throw it out there. When you're having a disagreement, here's what happens. Your emotions get involved. Instead of discussing the situation you were discussing, you're going to start attacking the person you're discussing it with, okay? Well, I just don't think we should do that. Well, you're an idiot. That was helpful. That total, I could see how that fits in. It doesn't fit in. You're attacking the person. You're not discussing what's going on. Why? Your emotions, and you're out of control. Listen, think about what's being said and think about what you're going to say and how you're going to say it. The problem is, the longer a marriage goes on, the more comfortable we get in saying the wrong things the wrong way to our spouse. We take them for granted. Fact of the matter is, look, if you're walking somewhere with your wife and some guy came up and said something to your wife, something that you would say to her in a wrong way, you'd probably jump on the guy and share the love of God with him after you deal with him. Say, don't you talk to my wife like that. Well, why? You do. Ladies, some guy starts, now you're talking to my husband. I remember, and I don't even remember this, my sister laughs about it because this is not my sister, my oldest sister, Susie. I just remember I was a little boy, she was married, I went and stayed at her house. I was outside doing something. I don't think I was doing anything bad. You have to understand, my sister's real quiet. She's not, you know. And some lady in the apartment, I just remember as a little kid, came out and just started getting after me. And I'm like, I'm just standing there. My sister came out and tried to, and they went at it. I mean, they dropped the glove. It was a pretty good fight, too, man. It was great. But it's like, don't you talk to my brother, you know. And they were going at it. I was like, okay. So we wouldn't let someone else do that to our spouse, but we'll do it to them. Why? We're comfortable. Let's not get there. Number 10, and we're done. I went 5 minutes late. I'm sorry about that. Nick sang really long. Number 10, a great relationship is built on trust and security. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her so that he shall have no need of spoil. He's talking about a trustworthy relationship. You say, but we struggle with trust in our relationship. Let me ask you some questions. Are you doing things that are seen as untrustworthy? Do you take off places and don't let them know where you're at? Do you, you know, look, can I just tell you something? If you're on your phone at 3 in the morning, if I wake up and my wife's on the phone at 3 in the morning, something's wrong. Okay. It's just not good. Are we doing things that are untrustworthy? Let's trust each other. Say, well, and by the way, and I know you have people that are reached later on, they come in now and they're Christians and they're trying to do the right thing and there's some problems in the marriage and maybe trust was violated. You know what you need to do? You need to work on gaining that trust back. Do what you have to do to get it back. And cut your spouse some slack if you've done something to violate the trust and they're a little nervous. Just don't get upset with them. You're the one that violated the trust. Why don't you earn it back? And then security, safely trusting. Security is built on inward qualities and not outward benefits, okay? Well, everything's okay as long as outwardly we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. No, that's not how love is. Love's based on inward qualities and commitment to one another. Let's pray.